Number 15B.
We go further to the subtone of principle, love as principle. What is here the main subject? Yes. What do we usually get when it comes to principle? We get righteousness. Huh? Here again, we see that righteousness. But from the standpoint of love, now what is the message that love gives as righteousness? Yeah, again he comes back to law and faith. Perhaps that's something that one notices when one reads Paul and feels he repeats himself over and over and over. Does he actually, that's a big question, it is the same thing as when the critics of the textbook say, Mrs. Eddy repeats herself over and over and over. 100 times she says that everything is mental and that every disease is mental, and she repeats herself, you get bored about it. Does she actually when one analyzes it, she doesn't, just as Paul does. Because there are always many connotations many relationships, how one subject can be considered. Through the subject law versus faith is a central theme in Romans, but that central theme has many aspects. And so each time he gives a new aspect of it. Here he shows that faith versus law as the righteousness of faith against the righteousness of the law. So that he says those who believe in Christ attain actually righteousness. You see, have here now the love plan and shows that those actually who believe in faith, that they attain a principal state of things, that they can explain and teach and demonstrate the Christ idea. Here we have another aspect in it that he brings up about principle. Did you sense that, what he says here too? Not only about his righteousness, it's quite a long subject. Yes. How shall they hear without the preacher? Yes. And then he goes on and says, how shall they preach except they be sent? See, that's the typical point of principle. That he shows that actually only those who are sent by God really should preach. That way, it again shows the universal plan here, all about, it is about they believe in him of whom they have not heard. How shall they hear without the preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Yes, that's the point here. So, again, we see that the interpretation of principle must be something that comes from God and not from a student, not from a research team. But actually, we must see that only then should we really teach, if we can teach from the divine principle and not from what we have learned. Yes. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Yes. So, again, he shows that really the salvation of the world will not come just by preaching what one has learned, just as Mrs. Eddy would point it out, that she really began to see the whole science of Christian Science as a gift of grace given unto me through the power of God, through the actual working of God. I'm glad that you know the textbook much better than I do. I never can quote. I only always hear the tonality of it. That you see, that's an important point. We really should only give out our teaching to the public when we really feel that it is principle interpreting itself through us, and not just because we love the subject and because we have studied it and have made good notes and have made those notes our own. This is not enough. It will not break a wall. It will not pierce through. The idea must be seen so that one feels it is the divine power of God that interprets itself through us. How shall they hear, except there is a preacher? But what is that preacher, except he be sent, not just a student? And I feel this is important for us, because we all are good students and are devoted students, see? And therefore we must see that there must be something more to it before we preach, before we lecture, before we teach, before we write. We should write out of that tremendous reservoir of the divine principle and principle using us, not we writing about principle. You can feel every time very clearly if somebody talks about Christian Science or if he talks Christian Science. That's a great difference. Many can talk about Christian Science. You only have to be a bit clever in the upper storage and have a good memory and see things a bit clear. Then it is very easy very soon to talk and write about Christian Science. But it's something else if we talk Christian Science, if we write Christian Science. That's very different. That's when we are sent. That's when the power of God is so terrific that we cannot help doing it. And it is so taking hold of anyone that he cannot resist it anymore. He just has to do it. So culture that Christ consciousness which we imbibe really through that wonderful Christ order. I always remember something that is still unbelievable for me. I don't know if I have told you once or not. Speaking of the seed according to the flesh, I was a very shy person. I never opened my mouth. Everybody said, well, he can't even speak. And when he opened his mouth, he stutters. What is the term? Yeah. And I was built that way, according to the flesh. And then I studied Christian Science. I began to see something about obstetrics, began to see something that I'm not according to the flesh, that I can be really the seed of promise, that I am not dependent on my parents and on what I have inherited physically. And I studied once Revelation, Book of Revelation. It was on a Pentecostal day. We have a long holiday then, not like here. We have about 2.5-3 days holiday. And that day I studied. And suddenly something said to me, I was in the church, mind you, I was a church member, said to me, go and hire a hall in the town and give a week's lecture on Revelation. And I had the courage and the guts to do it. I never stuttered anymore. I was never anymore short of words. How shall they preach, except they be sent? See, the moment one feels it is not we that teach and we that lecture, but the moment we feel we draw it right out of that big reservoir of principles, love, then you can speak. Then the message gets over. Even if I don't know the English language well enough, it still gets over. It doesn't matter, I know. So I would love if I would be in possession of a bigger vocabulary, of a more flowery vocabulary, perhaps. Or so. But that doesn't really matter. The message gets over, I know, because the Spirit, it's sent by God. Therefore, I like to be quiet before a lecture and think about things. I just can't, you know, fool around and then come with my notes to the lecture hall and then give the lecture. It must be from God, always from God, and not from us. And then it has an effect. And therefore, it's not dependent on the seed of the flesh. If one is very eloquent, and you know something else, it is when you know the Christ, you don't need to know any didactics. You have a new didactics. We don't have to study didactics so as to present the subject properly. But if we have the Christ and listen to the Christ and let the Christ flow through us, we have the most beautiful didactics. It's all from God, sent from God. So make no mistake, don't try to be the promise of the flesh. And you see that you are the promise of the seed. And everyone can do it, because he said, in love as mine, see, it shows that God, love knows its own idea and is calling everyone who is righteous, calling everyone who means well, who is sincere. There is not one ability, one faculty missing to do the job, not one. Yes. So never think you are not good enough because you have not had a good education, because you have not attended university, because this and because that and because this and this and this and that and the other. Never think of the seed according to the flesh. All what we need is the seed of promise, the seed of the faith in God, of understanding God. And then suddenly God will not only talk to us, God will also give us everything that is needed for what God has appointed us to do. You come to life, what do we get here? Here it is shown that love saves by grace and not by works. Here comes up again the same story. It is by grace that there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So God has not cast away his people, but love's hand of mercy is always stretched out. Can you see the fatherhood of sense of love? Love as life. Fatherhood of sense of love. Love that never draws back his hand or her hand, that always stretches out. You see, that's the fatherhood sense that always stretches out. And so that in that whole universe, everyone can partake of grace because his hand is still stretched out. It's quite interesting if one knows the Old Testament and then reads really Paul's letter, that he somehow always uses the terminology of the Old Testament to prove the New Testament, the points of the New Testament. Because in the Old Testament you had that over and over, in the prophet, his hand is still stretched out. And they were saying how disloyal Israel was, how disobedient Israel was, how stiff-necked they were, how they didn't want to serve God and so on. Still, God would say, his hand is still stretched out. It's still there every moment you can turn around and hold on to that hand. Yes. In soul, it's much more that soul can translate. As in life, it says, God stretches out, you can take it and then be translated. Yeah. the Father who sent. Now, much more. Now, then we come to truth. That's a long thesis he brings here that we cannot really relate here. It's all about that love delivers all mankind now, namely the Jews and the Gentiles. That is in the plan of love, that the plan of love is not only here for the Jews, but that it's also here for all mankind, even so that first the Gentiles will be saved, and that this will bring some kind of jealousy to the Jews, that they also want to imitate it and will also turn around and be saved. It is love's plan, really, to save all. He talks here about the wild olive tree and the true cultured olive tree, that it is, that the branches of the wild olive tree can be grafted into the stem of the true olive tree, and then they partake of the same root, and so the wild olive branches, that is, are the Gentiles, can bear fruit from the root of the promise, from the root of the true olive tree. He just uses that symbol of grafting the wild into the natural one, so that all have one root. The natural branches and the wild branches, they all have one root, and that out of one root grows really the plan of salvation. Yes. What do we get in love? This is a Yes, that all things are of him and through him and to him. Yes, a very great universal sense again, that there is nothing in the whole universe that is not integrated into the plan of love. It also brings out that actually only love knows the plan of salvation, that people cannot know that, but we don't know it, the plan of salvation. This is really what perhaps today is so important to see and to know. We would like to know how in the present world, where everything is upside down, we would like to know the plan of salvation, how things outwardly should change, what has to be done in order to save it. Here Paul comes and says, we don't know. We do not even need to know. It's God's plan of salvation, it's not our plan of salvation. So that he speaks about all the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, not the knowledge of men. God must know the plan of salvation. He knows it. We don't know it. How unsearchable are his judgments? It's unsearchable. Unfathomable mind is expressed, says Mrs. Eddy, also in the seventh day of creation. The tone of love. Huh? It always gives the sense of love being giving a sense of the unfathomable, the unsearchable realm. Meaning, for love, it is known. It's only unknown, unsearchable for us. So how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. What does it mean in English, past finding out? It's above the range that we can find out. Yeah. But we also would like to know. We would like to know how the next 20, 30 years should be managed by the government. What America should do, what the Russians shouldn't do. Huh? How can we do this? How do we do that with the economy, with the military scene? We would like to know that plan so that we can direct it nicely, that we are really the big guys in it. But Paul says, you can't. It's past finding out. He says, why don't you trust God? Why do you want to trust men? Why shouldn't we see that it is a spiritual idea, that salvation is a spiritual idea, and that love knows that spiritual idea? It knows both the depth and the riches. It knows the height and depth. It knows the ways and means. It knows the time and the opportunities to do it. We don't know it. We don't know it. And therefore, we should not even try to know it. We should see much more that we have faith in that plan and trust it. Yes. I just want to quote to what I said before. For who has known the mind of the Lord? You see, we would like to know the mind of the Lord and then do it accordingly. Or who has been his counselor? Don't we try to be his counselor when we say, we should really save the world now, it's in big danger. What shall we do now? We want to be the counselor of the world. We would like to run the world. We would like to play God. But Paul says the very opposite. Or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. And now this sentence of divine science, for of him, and through him, and to him are all things. It's really the all-in-all of divine science that says, in divine science, everything comes out of God, through God, and as God, and for God. It gives you a wonderful circle, a cybernetic circle of feedback within that realm of isness, and so to whom be glory forever. So why don't we want to give to God glory forever? Why do we want that the president or a chancellor or anything must be the savior of the world? Give him glory. Why wouldn't we like to give glory to God and say that nobody, no pharaoh in this world can stop that plan of salvation. No one. They all will be used, from the Russian to the Vietnamese to the Chinese to the Japanese to the Americans and to the Swiss, perhaps even that, to be used for the plan of salvation. Everything will be used. And you see what will happen when the world will wake up to God's plan of salvation and stop trying to play God. That's the whole tone of love. Let's run through it quickly again, just to see what is that plan of salvation. And so we can ponder it and begin to see in mind that it is actually love who knows the idea of salvation. He knows it. He knows what? He knows the spirit that everything, even the Pharaoh, will be used for a good purpose, for the plan of salvation. And therefore soul will take everything that seems to be opposing that plan of salvation and turn it around and reform it so that those who are not my people will be my people. Showing that only that which comes from God as interpretation is really teaching the world what to do. How shall they hear without the preacher? How shall they preach without they be sent? So that only principle's interpretation of itself really should be listened to. That alone knows the plan of salvation. And therefore, at the point of life, it is said, therefore, the world will be saved by grace of God, not by the works of men, not by governments, not by new systems, but by the grace of God, by life. At the point of truth, we see that all mankind will be touched by it. That man, as generic term, man will touch by it. There will be no nation, no class of people be left out. It will save Gentiles and Jews. It will save not only the Americans, it will save the Russians too. It will save mankind. Man will be saved. The idea of man must come up. And so, at the point of love as love, we can see that we really should trust only in love's plan, which is humanly unsearchable, divinely. It is that all comes from God, through God, as God, and for God. Golly, if you would stay there. Wouldn't that be using our time much better than reading 1,000 articles on politics and get afraid of it, what happens in the world? Christian Scientists should do that. All right. Tomorrow.